So I want to go on and talk a little bit about HER2 positive disease. And I want to ask you about this 56-year-old lady with metastatic disease. But before you talk about her, I wonder if you could update us on where we are with the paclitaxel trastuzumab adjuvant regimen.
Oh, sure.
We had a working group of oncologists recently on breast cancer, and we were chatting about what were some of the questions that they were most interested in hearing investigators and discussed. And a lot of them were about this, and particularly about the issue of how big the tumor can be, what kinds of tumors. It's clear, I think, to everybody now that this is a much better tolerated regimen. People want to use it, but they're getting kind of nervous based particularly on tumor size. Can you talk a little bit, first of all, about where you are with the data, anything new with that? And also kind of what the sizes were of the tumors, the patients that have been studied, and how that translates into practice.
Sure. So as you know, we essentially enrolled 400 patients who had node-negative disease into the prospective TH study, 12 weeks of paclitaxel and a year of trastuzumab. In terms of the patient population, about 50% of the patients had tumors less than a centimeter. Most of those had tumors that were T1B, but there were somewhere in the range of 18 or 19% of patients in the overall trial who had T1A tumors. The other half of the patients had tumors that were between 1.1 and 3 centimeters in size. 4/5 of those patients had tumors that were between 1.1 and 2. So from our standpoint, I think that this is a result that we feel comfortable applying in the stage 1 setting. I think there were few enough patients with tumors that were between 2 and 3 centimeters that I wouldn't pretend to say that you can directly apply these results to those patients. When we looked at the patients who had recurrences, there was really no difference based on tumor size in this study. But remember, we didn't have very many recurrences. Through now 7 years of follow-up, we're still talking about distant recurrences that are in the single digits. And although the disease-free survival, which takes into account all possible endpoints, is now 93% or thereabouts, the recurrence-free interval, which includes local regional recurrence, death from breast cancer, and distant recurrence, is still in the range of 97%. So I think this is a regimen that can be pretty broadly applied to patients with stage 1 HER2-positive disease. But I do want to emphasize that that doesn't mean that we have to give it to everyone. We don't necessarily have to give it to all patients with T1A tumors, or maybe even the majority of those patients. And, you know, if someone has a patient who has multiple adverse features, let's say she has a 2-centimeter cancer, so on the far upper end of stage 1 disease, and there's diffuse lymphovascular invasion, and it's ER and PR negative, which at least in terms of early recurrence increases the risk. And if a doctor wants to give something other than TH, I think that's fine. I just think that for most patients, this is probably the regimen that makes most sense.
So, you know, I think this study really was very important in terms of, you know, what you did. The fact that it was one arm, you got a quick answer, had this great effect for people. Really a cool situation in oncology, not just breast cancer. But I'm just kind of curious, if you could have done a phase 3 trial comparing TCH to paclitaxel trastuzumab across the board, big node negative, node positive, you name it, what do you think you would see?
Okay, so now we're totally into Eric bias.
Right.
Okay? And my opinion, I think we would have seen essentially identical results between the two regimens. I think it's very unlikely, you know, I'm not convinced that carboplatin adds to docetaxel in HER2-positive disease. Certainly in the metastatic setting, the trial that compared the two regimens, albeit with a slightly different dose of docetaxel, didn't show any added benefit for the carboplatin. And I think a taxane is a taxane. So if there were a difference, I think it's going to be a very small difference. I think it is possible, if not likely, that the anthracyclines probably do independently add just a little bit, but I suspect it's a very small addition as well. And I'll go on to say that I think that if one had been using a regimen like TH and then randomized to pertuzumab or not, we might have seen a slightly greater benefit for pertuzumab. Because when you give a little less chemotherapy, there may be more room for the biologic therapy to work.